We're going to take our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. And what I like to remind myself, folks, you know, when I pray, I speak to God. But when I open the Bible, God speaks to me. Because this is God's Word. This is not Shakespeare. This is not some man's philosophy. This is God's Word. You said, but Pastor Benny, it was written by 40 different men over a 1,500-year period on three different continents. I know all that. But I also know that they were all inspired by God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. This is God's Word. And this is what God said to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise out of the Ten Commandments. There's a promise. There's a promise that goes with this commandment. And this is the promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I want to talk to you about honor thy father. Honor thy father. And today we honor Dad. And we honor Dad in a diversity of ways. On Father's Day, a little boy decides to make his dad breakfast in bed. He makes scrambled eggs, toast, and coffee. He brings it to his dad and hands him the cup of coffee and says, try it, Dad. The dad takes a sip and nearly passes out because it's so strong. The little boy asks, how do you like it, Dad? The dad doesn't want to hurt the little boy's feelings, so he says, this is something else. I've never tasted coffee like this before. The little boy smiles from ear to ear and says, drink some more, Pops. As the dad is drinking, he notices something. There's two army men in the bottom of the cup. And he says, son, why did you put army men in the bottom of the cup? The little boy smiles and says, Dad, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. Well, we want to honor dads, and dads are worthy of being honored. I love what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in society. Dads are worthy of being honored. I remember when Savannah Abigail was just a little bitty girl. She came in just a little bitty girl in school. And she said, Dad, they ask us as students to write a paper about our hero. And she said, Dad, I wrote it about you. Oh, it touched me. I noticed a tear coming down the eye. And I said, Savannah, why did you choose me? She said, Daddy, because I couldn't spell Schwarzenegger. Well, dads are worthy to be honored. But I think there's four things that we ought to all keep in mind and we ought to all remember when we honor dads. First of all, every dad is flawed. Every dad is flawed. See, you can't always honor your dad because of his performance, but you can always honor him because of his position. Because, see, the best of men are men at best. And if you wait till your dad, your father, reaches a certain point before you honor him, guess what? You'll probably never honor him. Because every dad, every father is flawed. I looked in the Bible, and I realized Noah got drunk. I realized Moses was a murderer. I realized David was an adulterer. I realize Job went bankrupt. I realize Abraham lied. He was a selective liar. He only lied to kings. I realize that Isaiah preached naked. This is what I realized when I studied the Bible. Every dad is flawed. And you need to remember that. There's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us. It hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us because we're all flawed. Now here, hold on. This is a deep thought. Every once in a while, I say something very profound. Hold on closely. You wouldn't be here without your dad. Did you ever think about that? You say, well, Brother Benny, he wasn't a good guy. He may not have been a good guy. But here's what I want you to know. I wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be here without your dad. It's impossible. Now, there's a third thing I want you to realize. That God chose your parents' DNA to make you unique. God chose your parents' DNA to make you unique. Look what the Bible says in Psalms 139. You made, talking about God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. You know what I realize? God was more interested in creating you, and God was more interested in creating me than he was our parents' parenting skills. He was more interested in creating us than he was the parenting skills of our parents. See, sometimes we talk about an accidental child. There's no accidental child. Now, here's what there are. They're accidental parents. Yeah, they're accidental. Somebody said that's an illegitimate child. No. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child. They may be illegitimate parents, but not an illegitimate child. Because, see, God knew what he was doing. And God had a purpose. And God had a plan. And God took your dad's DNA and your mother's DNA, and he mixed those chromosomes to make you unique. You know, Father's Day doesn't change for me. Every year is always the same. I'm 53. I realize I look much younger. I'm 53. And nothing ever changes. Every Father's Day, I get up and I put this on. This is the only gift my father ever gave me. I met him when I was 30 years old. He passed when I was 35. He never gave me anything but this watch. And I wear it every Father's Day just to remember him. And many times I've said, this is the only thing that he ever gave me. But folks, really, that's not true. He gave me my uniqueness. Because I am who I am today, partly because of the uniqueness that came from him. See, my dad was a professional gambler. He played cards for a living. He could remember, they said he had a tremendous memory. He could remember the cards that were in, the cards that were out. He had a phenomenal memory, and he used it to play cards. But see, God gave me that DNA because God knew I would need that memory to remember scriptures. And see, here's what I want you to know. You've got a story too. God chose your parents' DNA to make you unique. So rather than being bitter and sad, the good qualities you have, you can thank your mom and dad for. Because you got those good qualities from your mom and dad. That's the wonderful thing about God. Now, there's a fourth thing I want you to see. There's a blessing connected to it. There's a blessing connected to it. See, God said that if we honor our mother and father, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, that it's going to be well with thee, and you can live long upon the earth. God said there's a blessing promised to you just in honoring your mom and your dad. Now here's what I realize. We go through different stages in life. And the principle to honor your mother and father never changes. Methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing, principles never do. That principle to honor your mother and to honor your father, it never changes. But I want you to understand something. The way you honor your mom and dad will change as you progress through life. You said, what are you talking about? Well, let me explain. I believe that when you're a child, you honor your parents, you honor your father by obeying. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you're a young person and you want to honor your mom or you want to honor your dad, how can I do it? You honor them through obeying them. One little boy said, I've learned how to get along with my mother. And his friend said, well, how do you get along with your mother? He said, whatever she says do, I just do it. The British King Edward VIII said these words. He said, the thing that impresses me the most about America is the way parents obey their children. It should be right the opposite. Children should be obeying their parents. A young lady goes to her father and says, oh man, can I get some mun to hit the flick? Now, let me give you a translation. That is, mun to hit the flick is some money to go to the movies. And the dad says, no, you can't get any mun to hit the flick. But you can swish the dish, spread the bed, and flop the mop. See, we honor as a child by obeying. But let me tell you quickly. We honor as a young adult by respecting and listening to them. By respecting and listening to them. Even the Old Testament tells us in Leviticus 9 and 3 that we ought to respect and listen to our parents. And the New Testament tells us in Hebrews 12 and 9 that we ought to respect and listen to our parents. And what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a young adult, you're going to reach those teenage years. And by the time you reach those teenage years, you're going to realize that your parents are flawed. Probably what you're going to realize and what you're going to see is only their flaws. You know, I truly believe this. When you get teenagers, you understand why animals eat their young. Amen? But I also believe that grandchildren are God's blessing to you for not killing your child when he was a teenager. I ran across this the other day. This is so good. It says, teenagers, tired of being harassed by your stupid parents? Act now. Move out. Get a job. Pay your own bills while you still know everything. Well, here's what I know. God gave you parents for a purpose. And God gave you parents so they could instill some things in you. They're flawed. They're not flawless. But I want you to understand, they have some good things to share with you. They have some important things to share with you. They have some beneficial things to share with you. Mark Twain said, when I was 14, I thought my dad was a complete idiot. But he said, you know, when I reached 21, he seemed pretty smart. He said, it's amazing what my dad learned in those 7 years. Now, we eventually reach the point that we're an adult. And how do we honor our parents even when we're an adult? By appreciating them and providing for them. By appreciating them and providing them. I read the other day that the average person will spend, of course, 18 years raising their children till they get, of course, 18 years of age. But then they'll spend 17 years taking care of their parents. So what do we appreciate, Pastor? Well, we appreciate the effort. But we also appreciate the sacrifice. We appreciate the sacrifice. You know, this is not all of you, but it's many of you. Many of you, your parents did without so you could have. Many of you, your parents sacrificed so you could have a better life than they had. Do you realize to raise a child to be 18 years of age, the average amount of money spent is $249,000. To reach 18 years of age, $249,000. I'll tell you what a real dad is. I'm a real dad. And I know you are too. But I'll tell you what a real dad is. A dad is a guy who has photos of his children in his wallet where he used to have money. Yeah. Every real dad goes through those four stages. You see, Pastor, what are those four stages? Well, it's four stages that every real dad goes through. He believes in Santa Claus. He doesn't believe in Santa Claus. He is Santa Claus. And then he looks like Santa Claus. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You say, Pastor Benny, I want to be that honorable dad. I want to be that honorable dad that's, you know, the right kind of dad. Well, I started thinking about this, and I started thinking about I could pull different examples. I could pull men out of the Bible as examples. I could pull people from history as examples of what a dad ought to be. But I thought, my goodness, the greatest example is God the Father. God the good Father. God the Heavenly Father. You know, we only have 52 recorded days of Jesus upon this earth. And there was two times that God the Father communicated to God the Son while he was on earth. It was at the baptism in the Jordan River, and it was at the Transfiguration. And there was three things that God the Father communicated to his Son. And I'm convinced as fathers, these are the three things primarily that we need to communicate to your children. The first thing, they're found in Mark. In Mark, the scripture tells us, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came this voice from God. And this voice said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I read that scripture and I said, there's a couple things from there that God the Father communicated with God the Son. First of all, he communicated belonging. He communicated belonging. Notice what he said. He said, this is my beloved Son. Not somebody else's. This is my Son. He belongs to me. That's my boy. That's my girl. See, I was raised by a stepfather. And every time my stepfather would introduce us to somebody, he would say, this is my son, Billy Wayne. This is my daughter, Treva. And then he would get to me and he would say, this is my stepson, Benny. And I never felt like I belonged. And every child needs to have that feeling that they belong. Every child needs to know, my daddy, I belong to him. That's my child. That's my daughter. That's my girl. And so I say to fathers, what you need to communicate to your children is he belongs to me. That's my boy. That's my girl. We learned this from our Heavenly Father. He communicated belonging. But I'll tell you something else. Not only did he communicate belonging, but he communicated love. Because he said, this is my beloved son. So I'd say to a father, belonging's important, but to be loving is important. Because God the Father said, this is my beloved son. Ken Canfield wrote a book, and the title of the book was They Call Me Dad. And Ken Canfield said this in the book when he wrote it. Only one out of four young men in America were told by their father that I love you. Three out of four weren't told by their dad that I love you. God the Father said, this is my beloved son. This is what I know about girls. Girls need face-to-face affection from dad. Girls need face-to-face affection from dad. A girl's sense of worth is established with her relationship with her father. A girl's sense of worth will be established with her relationship with her father. That's why that father needs to tell that young girl, you're beautiful, you're special, and caress her and treat her like a lady. Because if she does not get that from her father, she'll seek it somewhere else. If she does not experience that from her dad, she'll seek it somewhere else. That young girl, she needs face-to-face affection from her father. Now, the boys are different. They need shoulder-to-shoulder affection from the father. That is to say, the boys need a bear hug. They need physical play. They need you to wrestle with them. But they need to know that they're loved. This is what science says. Boys of affectionate fathers score higher on intelligence tests and have fewer gender identity issues. God the Father said, this is my beloved son. He belongs to me. I love him. But remember, I said God spoke twice. Look at Mark 9 and 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. You know what he was saying? My son's going to speak. He's got something to say. You need to listen to him. What was he saying? I believe in my son. So I'd say to that father, belonging, beloving, but believing. I believe in my son. I believe in my daughter. The greatest thing a father can do is let his children know that I believe in you. I truly believe this. Much of the peer pressure that goes on with young people can be subsided if they have a home where they know unequivocally, my parents believe in me. My parents believe in me. Now, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand the power of it. I was raised by a stepfather who told me I was ignorant, that I was a bastard, and that I would never amount to anything. And I started believing those things. I started believing it so much, my mother took me to the doctor because I couldn't comprehend. I wasn't doing well in school, but why would I do well in school? Because I was told on a regular basis how ignorant I was and how I would never amount to anything. And always remember, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful. God used words to create this world. And words can create your world, good or bad. So I didn't do well in school. They pushed me through. I played sports and they pushed me through. I wasn't great, but I was better than average, and they pushed me through. And I get saved when I'm 16, and when I'm 17, I'm started preaching. Every day, my senior year in high school, I take my Bible to school. Take my Bible to school, walk in the restroom with my Bible, and they'd fill up the sink with water and say, "Preacher boy, walk on the water." But I took my Bible nevertheless. God had changed my life. And I got a job at Carpet Beauty. I was making $3.35 an hour. What was you doing, Benny? I worked in this foundry. And I would go in and clean the commodes behind the foundry workers. That was my job. I'd take my pail in there and lay over a commode and clean the commode that the foundry workers had used. And about that time, my mother started dating a man. He was a Canadian. His name was Don Mason. He was a wonderful man, but I was basically grown. And he said, "Benny, what are you going to do with your life?" I said, "Well, I'm preaching on street corners. I'm preaching in rescue missions. I'm preaching in nursing homes. And I've got a job. I make $3.35 an hour." That was minimum wage. And some things are funny. I still think that's what I make. He said, "Benny, you can do more." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're preaching." He said, "You ought to go to college." I said, "Oh, I couldn't do that, Don. I struggled to get through school." He said, "I think you can. I think you can do it." I said, "I don't think I can, Don. I'm making $3.35 an hour as a janitor. I can't do it." He said, "Oh, yes, you can." He said, "I believe in it so much." He said, "For every degree you'll complete, I'll pay for." I put the money up. "You start with your associates, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for all your degrees." He was such a good man. He wasn't my father, but he was a good man. And he paid for me to receive an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and an earned doctorate. And I don't say that. Please, I don't mean that in a boastful way. But my wife knows it's the truth. I never made anything but straight A's. All the way through college. This is going to shock you, even in English. God's a miracle working God, amen. What was the difference? The difference was one man had no belief in me. Another man had great belief in me. Now here's what I want to say is I'll wrap all this up. What, Pastor, what if you didn't have the good father? You said, "Pastor Benny, to be honest with you, I was abused." Perhaps you was abused physically. You were abused mentally. God forbid, but maybe even you was abused sexually. What would you say to me, Pastor, in all this honoring thy father? When my father abused me, what word do you have for me? Well, first of all, my heart goes out for you. My heart goes out for you. I am so sorry for anybody that had to go through that. And you have my heart. But I want to give you a verse of Scripture, too. It's in Luke chapter 17, verse 2. It says, "It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones." And all I want to say to you, if when you were a child, somebody abused you, there's a severe judgment coming to that person. There's a severe judgment coming to that person who violated you and who did you that way. But here's what I want you to understand. Even though you were hurt, you can't deny it. You can't bury it. You can't repress it. You can't ignore it. You can't fake it. You've got to face it. Because this is what I've learned. If you don't talk it out, you'll take it out. If you don't talk it out, you'll take it out. See, the hurt you have in your life, if you don't talk it out, you'll take it out on your mate now. You'll take it out on your children. You'll take it out on others. You'll take it out on other people. Because truly, the only way to really honor your parents is to be honest with your parents. And you know what you've got to do? To be free, you've got to do what I did. You've got to say to that individual, I can't honor you for the good until I deal with the hurt. I can't honor you for the good that you did in my life until we deal with the hurt that you brought to my life. You say, Pastor Benny, what if they're dead? Well, you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to somebody. And you know what's amazing? If you were abandoned and you said, Brother Benny, I had a terrible experience. You don't understand this. This Father's Day, this whole issue is hard. If you were abandoned by your dad, by your mom, it wasn't a good situation. Did you know there's a special privilege that's promised to you? You said, Brother Benny, I was one of those that I had a terrible experience. There's a special privilege that was promised just to you. What is it? Well, let's look at it in Psalms. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. What does that mean? Take me up. I researched it. It means the Lord will hold me close. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will hold me close. And the scripture also says that he'll be a father to the fatherless. He'll be a good father to that boy or girl that didn't have a father. He'll be a good father. So what I really hope today is I hope your situation is not like I dealt with on the end. I hope you have a wonderful father and you can honor him in a big, big way. Somebody said, when I was 4 years old, my dad can do anything. At 7 years old, my dad can do a whole lot. At 8 years old, well, my dad, he doesn't quite know everything. At 12 years old, well, naturally, dad doesn't know. At 14 years old, dad is so hopelessly old-fashioned. At 21 years old, oh, my old man's out of date. At 25 years old, he knows a little bit, but not too much. At 30 years old, I better find dad and see what he thinks. At 35 years old, before I do anything, I'm going to talk to dad. At 50 years old, what would dad have thought about it? At 60 years old, my dad knew everything. At 65 years old, I sure wish I could talk it over with dad one more time.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.